This episode brought to you by
Audible.
Audibletrial.com/horrorversion for 30 days free and a book to get you started. For your book recommendation, Mikey.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
You're welcome, Mikey.
All right. The book is Band of Brothers.
Ooh. I love that HBO series.
Well, it's based on a book a historian named Stephen Ambrose wrote. It's very awesome. I read it in high school.
Is it as good as the series?
Yeah.
The series is one of
the best. No, it's not.
Best.
I love that series.
Yeah, it's one of the, I mean, honestly, the book would have to be amazing. So, guys, check out Band of Brothers, written by
Stephen Ambrose.
You said it like you were a historian. And check out the HBO series. It's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
This episode also brought to you by Nick B.
Hey, Nick B.
Fun fact about Nick B. He's been banned from the second level of those red buses.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was spitting on people. Yeah.
Was he throwing I thought he was throwing crisps.
Technically, he was throwing crisps, but they were out of his mouth as he spit them.
Gross. Worse. Nick B., wait, aren't the bad facts supposed to be about John?
I mean, he was spitting it on people I didn't like.
So that's good.
Touché. Well done.
Fun fact about John, he spits it on people I do like.
No, I've got a real fact about John.
Uh-oh, here we go. Hey, this episode also brought to you by
John.
Hey, John.
Listen up, listeners. Let me tell you the truth about John.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
He never turns his phone on silent.
John.
And he's got the clicks on his texting.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, you'll just be someone, you're like, click, 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 click.
I hate that.
Click, 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 click.
I hate that so much.
That's John.
Yeah.
He just has to let you know that he's important enough to be talking to
someone. Stop it with the haptic feedback.
We get it, bro. You got a text.
Yeah.
Woo!
We get it. Your mom needs you to pick up milk on your way home.
But, Mom, click, 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 click. I don't want you. Click, 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 click.
I just want to say I love John a little bit.
I do too, John.
Yeah.
We love you. Clicks and all.
Guys.
Yay!
Player three has entered the game.
Uh-oh. That's this right. Episode also brought to you by, I'm so excited, Rebecca!
Rebecca!
Hey, it's a lady!
Rebecca, we need your feedback. Do you want positive facts or negative facts? We're going to do one of each.
Okay, soft pitch. Should Mikey throw her a pickup line every time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I love that Mikey is on board for this.
How about Mikey throws the pickup line and I'll give you a rejection line, Rebecca?
I actually sort of think that's fair. And
that's
honestly,
her.
Mikey,
she's
I think it's
who...
fair because that's what would happen.
That's not true. Ask your mother.
Whoa!
I mean, I could call her right now.
Click, click, click.
So could I.
Ah, damn. So could I. That was fucking funny. Holy shit. All right.
No, but Rebecca, what kind of facts do you want? Our pickup lines. I'm open to anything.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining the party. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining the Burn It Down level. Maybe we should stop pseudo flirting with Rebecca and bringing that theme music.
Yeah. Rebecca, would you like to bring the theme music in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure, guys. Here you go.
Oh, she might not sound like that.
She might not.
She might not. Are you sure this isn't porn?
No, this is like real good.
And Elizabeth,
that doesn't mean
are you
it's not
sure
porn?
This isn't porn, Mikey?
Elizabeth, she's in it.
Okay, no. Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. I'm Jim.
I am Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies, and you guys make me watch them, and then we discuss.
Yeah.
And this week, you guys made me watch the horror movie Overlord.
Yes, I love it. I was so excited.
I remember when you watched this movie, you went with the Podfather.
Uh-huh. We were going to go, and like, when you've got kids, we had babysitting, so we were going to go to dinner and a movie.
Nice.
We had to, like, choose, like, we can only go to a movie, like, maybe once a month or so we have to really choose which one.
And you honed in on Overlord?
Okay, we were either going to go see Overlord or we were going to see the new Suspiria remake.
Oh, you chose right. You chose
I think we chose right.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
I did like the Suspiria remake, but this movie was so much fun to see in theaters. We both loved it.
This is my first time seeing it. Mikey, it was your second time, right?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters too.
Okay, so I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it tonight and there were some very, very scary parts for me. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't normally get like grossed out by like body horror, but I really got grossed out by quite a few scenes in this, man.
Yeah.
You do get grossed out by body horror.
Not as much. Like,
almost threw up in the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
true. See, and I usually get super grossed out by body horror, but I really liked this. So for some reason, it just worked for me.
From the moment that guy threw up on the plane, I was I was in throw up mode for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was rough.
Did you like it?
You know, it felt like a video game. It felt like I was playing Wolfenstein, and I always play those games up until Supernatural shit starts happening, and then I have have to stop because I love killing Nazis, but I get scared by zombies. So I usually just like back away slowly
You're
from
like,
the
Nazis,
games.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Ghost Nazis. Peace out.
I am out. No joke. Anything like supernatural and scary in a video game, I'm out.
So we all agree that this movie was amazing.
I wouldn't say it was amazing. I definitely sort of understand why it didn't do great. And we'll talk about how it did when we do box office, but I do feel like they went after a market for like World War II and horror. And it's a very small like number of people that would like both of those things. So it's not, I don't think it's
but
a bad movie.
But they nailed it like right in the middle
it
of
did.
That bullseye.
I don't think it's a bad movie. Oh, I think if that's what they were going for, nailed it. And if you like those things, you'll love it. I don't like the horror part of it, but I sort of like the movie because the World War II shit was cool. And it was like a cool take on it. Yeah, it's a lot of cool action. And it was a cool take on sort of a zombie slash monster meth movie.
Yeah.
So I saw this movie with Chris. We went on a bro date.
Oh, I love Chris.
Yeah. Chris from Trick or Treat and The Thing.
I saw this movie in theaters. I turned to him and I was like, because this is a really high budget movie. And like, especially for horror, because you just, there's special effects everywhere. It's like World War II. It would be a good World War II movie without the zombies and stuff. And I was like, who made this movie? Like, who gave these people this much money?
J.J. Abrams.
This is so ridiculous. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
But it's good, right? It is good.
But I was like, this movie's going to bomb. This movie's not going to make any money.
And we'll talk about it when we get to box office, because I wouldn't say it bombed.
Yeah.
But it didn't do great. I honestly think it didn't do nearly as well as it should have.
I think so, too.
But I think it's because they honed in on the people who like World War II and like, so if you're on Netflix, if you watch colorized World War II documentaries and zombie flicks, it's going to recommend this movie to you and you're going to fucking love it.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I pitched a movie to Hollywood and they took $100 million, made it and brought it back. And I'm like, oh,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks,
nailed it. Yeah. Nailed it. I struggle to say that I liked it because I would never watch this by myself again. But if I was at a party or with some friends and they're like, do you want to watch this movie? I'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So let's get into this fucking movie. Let's talk about it.
All right. So we start with Planes Over the Ocean and we see a lot of soldiers on a plane.
I'll say one thing I liked about this movie a lot is we get right into it.
Yeah, we do.
Like we start flying on our way to the 101st Airborne being dropped in the day before D-Day.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, I love this scene, but it is kind of a ripoff of like every Ryan, Band of Brothers. Yeah.
Except it's in a plane.
Exactly the opening of Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So we got soldiers on a plane and some of them are scared and they're just kind of talking about what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they are, this is the day before D-Day.
Yeah. But this actually happened. So like 101st Airborne did fly in the night before D-Day.
Yeah.
And they were charged with taking out artillery and like radio stations and stuff like that to sort of like get behind enemy lines and then come towards the beaches to try and make it so it wasn't a shit show that D-Day sort of ended up being for the people who actually came to the beaches. So they did a lot of stuff like this. It's just this to me, I bet the elevator pitch for this was it's like the 101st Airborne, except they go into a town to destroy artillery and a radio tower, but there's Nazis doing experiments that make people insane zombie.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're flying in. The specific mission they have is to take out a radio tower that's on top of a church.
I thought it was a jammer. I honestly don't remember.
The plot specifics are a bit iffy. Like, it also has glowy red lights on top of the radio tower,
and
which wouldn't be a thing because they would just bomb it from the air.
Yeah.
And zombies, too.
There's a lot of stuff I don't
It's really. Actually, yeah. But it's all awesome, and I love it. Anytime I'm talking about something that doesn't make sense, just know I don't care that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and
because
honestly,
I love it.
Whether it's a radio tower or a radio jammer doesn't matter. It's that they have to go destroy whatever it is.
And it's so that the plane, that on the beaches, they can have air support during the D-Day attack. Yes.
It's not the destination. It's the journey.
Yeah,
it
babe.
Really is.
It's the journey. Yeah.
And what a journey it is.
Yeah. So there's like 20 people on this plane, right?
Yeah, there's more a lot. And so they're on the plane and then it's nighttime and their sergeant comes out and I love this guy. It's Bokeem Woodbine.
He's famous.
Yeah. He was in The Rock. He was also in the second season of Fargo, which is awesome. And everyone
should
watch it.
He's great in this.
He really is.
A little short-lived, but he's great in this.
I know. It was so sad when he died. We'll get to it. But yeah, so he's coming out and he's just being all drill sergeant-y and explaining what their mission is. And he's saying, we got to do our goddamn job, and just yelling at him. But not like in a mean way. He's trying to like pump
them
up.
It seems more like he's like I hate to use the word cheerleader, but pumping them up is probably a better.
Exactly how my boss talks to me.
Yeah.
But it's not like drill sergeant-y, like, do your goddamn job.
All right. Yes, sir.
No. And we see Grey Worm from Game of Thrones.
He looks a little bit different.
He does. He's got a penis in this movie.
That's what it is. Yeah. Guys, I didn't notice him because of the penis.
His worm is up here, Mike.
His Grey Worm.
All right. So now the plane starts taking fire and the sergeant comes in and starts getting them ready to jump. And they stand up and they're hooking their parachutes onto this thing.
Yeah.
And you were talking about what that was because I didn't understand that part.
Yeah. All of the stuff I know about D-Day and the 101st Airborne, which is what's going on in this movie, is from Band of Brothers. So they're hooking onto that sort of line through that like wire line through the plane because it automatically opens their parachute almost immediately after they jump out. And they were jumping out at a pretty low altitude. So you wanted to pull it almost immediately, which comes into play because when shit starts popping off and they have to jump out,
right.
Dude, when this scene was insane.
It was so good.
Popping off, you got your pullout game's got to be strong.
Oh yeah. Listen, when you get close to the edge,
make sure you clip in.
Clip in, clip it on and make sure your pullout game is drawn.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they take some shrapnel.
They do. And the part of the plane blows up.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Like the engine blows up. Oh,
and people are getting like pepper sprayed with fucking bullets.
This is the worst Tinder date I have ever heard of.
Well, there's a point where they just start shooting up through the middle, the bottom of the plane, and then somebody stands in the middle and just gets all shot up.
Yeah. A few of them die that way, still on the plane. And then the engine catches on fire, and then I don't think the engine blows up, but there is an explosion on the outside of the plane.
Yeah, they're hit by flak. There's fire. People are dying everywhere.
And he's falling down in the aisle. He's about to fall out the flaming back of the plane. But
Can I ask a question about that?
Boyce.
Okay. So Boyce is about to fall out the back of the plane, right? But struggles to climb up and go out the door of the plane.
I think the sergeant helps him out a little
bit. He does. But if you just went out the back of the plane, wouldn't you just go out the back of the plane
unless
and be out of the plane?
Unless you caught on fire.
Well, maybe. That's fair. You know, he's just remembering his training. He's like, I'm supposed to go out the door.
That could be. And the sergeant was there to help
him. Right. And I mean, if you can choose, I would rather go out the one that's not on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. And so now he hasn't been clipped onto this thing. So as he's falling, his parachute's not opening and he has to like kind of scramble around and figure out how to. Meanwhile, there's like just gunfire everywhere. And the camera is just right on his face through this whole fall. And it is just amazing.
Yeah, he's flipping
sort
like
of end
over
end. And a plane blows up underneath him.
Yeah, I love this scene. I love how it's shot. It's very high budget. There's anti-aircraft fire all in the background. Yeah. Planes crashing down, flying overhead. Very big budget World War II movie. Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Band of Brothers does or any other movie you've seen that has this scene in it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like Saving Private Ryan. Like, there's nothing horror movie about this.
No,
yet.
Not at all.
Except the
horror
fact
of
that
war.
The entire thing is just horrifying. And
absolutely,
like, you watch
Mikey.
These movies and you're like, how the fuck did anybody make it off that plane, you know?
So he's like spinning end over end and he finally does.
He finally gets his parachute out, but almost immediately falls into
the
water.
Yeah, I like that because it was very quickly. Mm-hmm. And the parachute does take, and they say it's like 100 feet to open. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a parachutist, but I had a friend who did it. I think it's like 100, 150 feet, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it opens, and then almost immediately he's in the water.
Yeah, yeah. And going all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah, because he's got all the equipment on.
Yeah, like 50 pounds of gear on.
And he has to cut a bunch of shit off. And this part, I just keep watching, and I'm like trying to take a breath, you know. I'm like, holy shit, how did he not drown? Finally cuts himself free, but he goes up, and he's right underneath his parachute. So he goes up, and he still can't take a breath, and he's got to cut his way out of the parachute just to breathe.
Yes.
And he finally makes it out. He pulls up onto shore and just sits and like,
as Todd
fuck.
And I talked about it, looked like a birth.
Yes.
It does look a little bit like that. And if you think about his trajectory through the movie, I mean, you could see it a little bit. This is probably the first time he's been in combat. You know?
I'm 100% sure it is. Yeah.
The birth of a soldier.
Yeah. Well, then he's sitting down by that log on the beach and it actually looks sort of nice. There's nothing going on really at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I think you can see like planes flying over in the distance,
crashing.
But yeah, that's true. There is one that crashes, but then like a machine gun nest starts shooting at him and he's like, oh yeah, I'm in the horrors of war. I have to move.
Oh yeah. So he starts going through a forest and he's seeing people like hanging from their parachutes.
He's saying flash, thunder, and that's like the whole
secret code word.
That's the code word they would say. Yeah. So if you thought you were coming up on somebody, you would say flash. If they responded with thunder, you wouldn't shoot them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's what they were. That's what they were doing there. Huh. They also had clicky things, which they didn't have in this movie, but they do in Band of Brothers.
It was a budget thing.
They couldn't afford the clicks.
They can't afford a Snapple top because that's more or less what it was.
So now they're going through the forest and
it's
just boys though. It's not them.
It's just boys. And he finds a gun and you said it was like a Garand or something.
It's an M1 Garand.
Yeah, yeah.
He finds it, goes do-do-do-do-do-do.
And so
it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. It's from Zelda.
Jen is so,
Jen is so confused. Oh my God.
Oh my God. We see boys walking through the woods.
Yes.
And he sees the Sarge off in the distance and he's kind of surrounded by several Nazis.
Yeah.
Yes. You can they say are it. Nazis.
Yeah.
So he sees Sarge off in the distance.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of German soldiers around him. Yeah.
Yeah. And about to shoot him. And he's asking if anybody has a cigarette. And he's about to shoot. I know. Oh, it feels
I love
so bad.
The sergeant, dude.
I do too.
He knows what's going to happen, but he just does. He's yeah. like, fuck it, let's do it. I'm going to go out like a badass.
Exactly.
And he does.
And yeah. so Boyce has got his gun ready and he's about to go try to save him. And then Ford, who we've met on the plane, and he's like new to the squad and kind of a loose cannon or just like real quiet and sullen. So Ford, and we haven't talked about him yet. Anyways.
We haven't. No, but the only thing he did on the plane was like give the photographer shit.
Right.
Sulk.
And yeah. we know that he's new.
And he's been, no, he's not new. He's been to Italy.
Well, he's new to that company.
New to their company.
But he's the only experienced soldier in the company.
And he's an explosives expert.
Yes,
too.
And that's probably why he was going on this mission
exactly.
with them. Yeah,
he's also a little dreamy. So anyways, he sneaks up behind Boyce and stops him from going to save the Sarge. He's like, dude, he's dead. He knows that.
Yeah,
you know?
And there's nothing you can no do. Way you could kill him.
You're just going to kill yourself.
Yeah, because the M1 Garand only held 6 bullets and there were at least 10 of them, he says.
Yeah. Well,
God,
actually.
Such lower teamwork time. I love it.
I know.
So the sergeant dies, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, he gets sprayed down.
Here's where the movie takes a left turn.
Really?
Well,
not when we start see zombies and shit.
No, right. no. This is it. Because you're gonna agree with me. Hear me out. Todd's gonna agree. They know the Nazis are taking no prisoners, and then for the rest of the movie, they try not to kill Nazis and take all the prisoners.
Yes.
Well, they kill a lot of Nazis,
but they don't kill the Nazis they should kill first.
They should kill all the Nazis.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're trying to make a moral point of we don't want to be like them.
No, he tries to make the exact opposite point later in the film.
Ford does.
Ford does. But we're
Boyce
talking about,
doesn't.
Yeah, Boyce is sort of the morals of the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Moral compass is a better way of saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Ford's way works.
So after the Sarge dies, they're walking around, the two of them, and they find...
Yeah, because the Nazis leave.
Right.
Because they think that they've killed the only other person that was out there, so they leave.
But they're still trying to kind of reclaim, and so they hear some rustling in the bushes, and
they do the flash thunder thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know notice that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so it's Tibbetts, Grey Worm, and the photographer whose name is Chase. And
yes.
I think Grey Worm's name is Dawson, but
and
he'll
Chase
always
has
be
the
Grey
mustache,
Worm.
Right?
Chase has the mustache and the camera.
I love mustache guy.
I like him too. He's not a mustache hole.
He's
a good
not.
Dude. Yeah. He just doesn't understand that he needs to put the fucking camera down
because
he's in a war zone.
So Ford has to smash it. And he's like, ooh, what a cool camera. Can I see it? Wingy blingy.
He has it later.
He has a little mini camera. Yeah, he's got a little Polaroid.
No photographer only has one camera, Todd.
Okay, yeah, Todd. I stand corrected.
Aren't you a photographer?
And
sometimes?
I have 3 cameras. Am I Chase?
Ooh. So smashes the camera. And he makes a good point. He's like, dude, you're wearing a spotlight around your neck.
Yeah,
you
well, there's a huge like flash and that would reflect and horrible anyway but they so the party is the 5 of them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
you've got Kurt Russell's son, what's his name, Ford. You've got Boyce, who's sort of the main character. You got Grey Worm, who's the writer. You got the photographer, who's Chase, and then who's the other guy?
Tibbetts, may or may not be Vinny from Doogie Howser.
Oh yeah, he's definitely Vinny. Like,
I love him in this movie.
I think he's great. Yeah, he's real good. But he does put out major Vinny vibes for me.
Yes, like he might as well be crawling through a window every time he's talking.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Dawson, aka Grey Worm, starts talking about the book that he's writing, and so if you've ever seen a movie before, you know that he's about to die.
Yeah, and you're not wrong, because they're honestly just like walking to the town they're supposed to go to meet up at, and then take down the radio tower at the church.
Yeah.
And they're just moseying along. He's talking about his book. Boyce is like, I'd buy a copy of that book, and then blows up.
Because
maybe you guys should be gibby gabbing behind enemy lines.
Well, it's not the fact that they were gibby gabbing that kills Grey Worm.
They were talking real loud.
Yeah, but it was a landmine. It wasn't like a mortar or something.
Maybe you should pay attention, Grey Worm.
Landmines are hidden.
Yeah. And just like the end of Game of Thrones, it blows up and he's dead.
Yeah, it blows up in everyone's faces.
Yes.
And Grey Worm dies.
To me.
It's not a hot take. That, it ended terribly. Blew
it
up.
Did. So Grey Worm explodes.
Grey Worm steps on a landmine and explodes, and they all get like thrown a while. So they wake up, and Boyce has kind of got a ringing in his ear. And so
it's called tinnitus. He permanently has tinnitus.
The canon explanation is that pieces of Dawson got stuck in his ears and like protected him.
Not
I actually read in the book that he wasn't that close to the bomb when it went off, so he ended up being fine. But
what a loose adaptation.
And I like this because Ford is on the ground and he's saying, walk straight towards me, because we know there's lots of landmines and they're like poking with their bayonets.
Yeah, he literally says, fix your bayonets, get in a straight fucking line and walk right to me.
Yeah, and they're yelling, but they got to do it fast because there, who knows how many more landmines might be around. Also, if the Nazis hear a gigantic explosion and Ford yelling, and I really like the scene because Ford's been a dick to all of them, but now you can tell, like, he does actually want them to survive.
He's a dick with a purpose.
Yeah,
exactly.
He is. I got the impression that he was a dick because of, like, the war, and he'd already been in the war, but he didn't want anyone to die.
Right.
And in truth, he outranks all of them, so he's in charge.
And I also got the point that he sees a bigger picture, too. He's like, yeah, we all had friends on the plane. We got a mission.
Yeah.
It's bigger than us.
And if you want to live through this, we have to move forward.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what he gets them to do, and even though it's fucking horrific.
I can't hear the landmine exploding.
Right.
What is, Boy says something like, he was here and now he's gone.
He says, so they're like,
no, he goes, where's Dawson? And the guy goes, there is no Dawson.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's when he's trying to get him to walk to him on the landmine. Yeah.
And listen, like, I get there is now no Dawson, but if I had just watched one of my friends explode, I wouldn't want someone who I just met to be like, there is no Mikey.
I kind of do.
All right. So now Boyce is washing his face, and this is when Ford, he's saying to Ford, he's like, he was there and then he wasn't.
Oh, that's right.
And Ford was like, yeah, but you're still here. We got to get our head together. Yeah.
Oh, and while they're walking to that lake where they're washing their face, they also see like what looks like a torso that has been disfigured,
like
on some level.
Like an animal torso or something.
Is it? I thought it was a human torso because it looks like it has, it might not have been
human.
Like an animal, but,
well, they're saying it doesn't look like a dog, but it might be a jackal, but they can't really tell because it's just a big pile of grossness.
Mucky muck.
Yeah, yes. It's like blood and guts and possibly like flesh.
Right, yeah.
But it is not clear what it is. I got the impression it was a torso, but it may not have been.
On the second time, I thought it was just one of their creatures that they murdered.
I think it was, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what it was, but I don't know if that was human to begin with.
And
so
gross.
While they're washing their face or getting the gray worm off of them at the lake, they're washing off their gray worm, and then they see a lady running through the forest.
Yeah, well, they hear rustling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess she's not running. She's just like getting through the forest.
She's kind of,
yeah, she's moving pretty quickly, but she's not running until she sees them.
And then she starts running.
Like, we can't let her alert them to our presence.
Right.
Go get her. And then they run her down.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're running her down, she slices Boyce in the arm with a knife. And then Ford grabs the knife and steals the knife from her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of push her against a tree. But then Boyce is like talking in French to her.
Yeah, you're safe. Just stop. Yeah. We don't want to hurt you.
Yeah, we're not going to hurt you. And if you were a local in France the day before D-Day, your life has been hell because Nazis have been doing horrible shit to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know the Allies are coming. You have no idea. So you see a bunch of soldiers in the forest, you assume they're Nazis. Like, I would run too.
Or they're not French people. So who knows?
But there weren't any French soldiers. So if they're in uniforms, they would not be French,
because they surrendered like 4 years ago.
Well, the reason they did that was because they spent all of their economy's money on the Maginot Line, which was like a fortified line that went between France and Germany. They didn't expect Germany to build planes to fly right over that fucking line, so it didn't do them any good.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to
Mechanized
Todd
Infantry is what changed World War II.
Yeah.
So they meet her and it's her village and she's been scavenging. So she's got a bag full of stuff that she's stolen. And so they say, can you take us back to the village? Because the village is where they want to go anyways.
Yeah. And she does. She takes him back to what I assume is her house.
And Ford gives her back her knife, too. So I think she doesn't still totally trust him, but she knows they're not about to kill her.
Well, she knows they're not Nazis because they're speaking English, although she hasn't spoken English yet.
And the Nazis later on speak English. This movie's got some stuff.
Hey, listen, man. Back then, people learned more languages.
They did, yeah.
So they go back to Chloe's house.
Yeah. And so they end up in the house, and they have to kind of sneak. And on the way, the neighbor hears them. And so we know there's a curfew. And this neighbor, blows her, she blows the whistle on Chloe.
Yeah, it's like a neighborhood watch whistle sort of thing. And then the Nazis come, and then the soldiers hide.
Mm-hmm.
And Chloe has to sort of explain what she was doing.
But so she gets back in the house, and because the head Nazi has come over and left. Her go back in.
Yeah.
And we find out why in a little bit. But so now all the soldiers are in the house and we find out it's her little brother there and her aunt who's sick. So they get into this house and they're hearing these weird coughing.
Yeah, it's not like regular
weird.
Sick.
This is like pneumonia Michael noises. Because I heard that sound before.
Yeah, I remember.
From editing?
No, when I had to take Mikey to the hospital.
Yeah.
When he met his ex-girlfriend.
Nazi zombie ghost.
Yeah, you Nazi zombie ghosted her for sure. Who's you did not see her again. Nailed it. All right, we got to move on.
Right. And so they're gathering all of their explosives, and then they start hearing some shit happening outside. Yeah. And the Nazis are like pulling people out of their houses, and it's a couple, and they grab the man and they shoot the woman. And
I got the feeling it was like a mother and son, but it may have been a couple.
I'm not sure.
I thought it was a couple.
You're too far away to really see specific ages, so it very well could have been a couple.
But it basically. Is just these people are dicks and they're just killing people.
Yeah, well, they're Nazis, so
right. The movie has to establish that the Nazis are Nazi. The movie, we know they're Nazis.
Yeah, that's like the one thing you don't have to tell us in the story.
Yeah,
like,
you don't have to pull all the people out of houses.
And they're not just regular Nazis.
They're
the SS. So those motherfuckers weren't drafted or whatever. They actually signed up to do horrible shit.
The SS is like the hardcore Nazi party believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are the ones that do the most horrible shit.
Well, and they do. They just murder this woman in the middle of her village.
Yeah, because she was screaming about them taking her husband or son or whoever, you know.
How dare she?
Yeah.
So they are talking about their mission, and they're talking about how they have to take out the church because that's what's going to give the planes the support when they are invading the beaches the next day. And so Chase, the photographer, is like, dude, there are way too many of them. We need to just wait. I think he says, what if we just wait here?
Yeah.
And Ford's like, no, dude, we got to stay on the mission.
We have a mission. It's got to be the mission.
There's like 100 Nazis in this town, and there's like four dudes.
Yeah. Not many of them made it out of the plane.
Right. It's not a bad argument, but Ford's like, dude, we got to carry this mission out. There are bigger things at stake.
Yeah.
And so this is when Tibbet, who's kind of a dick at this point still.
Yeah, I thought he was sort of a dick too.
Yeah.
This Vinny guy.
Vinny. He starts telling the story about Boyce, and it was about when they were in basic training, and a mouse kept getting into the sergeant's bunker and like shitting all over the place. So he ordered Boyce to kill the mouse, and Boyce didn't want to kill the mouse because it's not an evil spider or a cricket. He wanted to pick it up and just let it go in the field.
Yeah, he took it outside and
let it go. Yeah. And then it came back in, and I don't know if like the sergeant did a code red on the whole team or whatever. But anyways,
I think he made him run.
Yeah.
I don't think he put a sock down in their throat and then beat them with soap.
Aw, I love that movie so much.
Yeah, Aaron Sorkin's a god.
Yeah. So he's telling the story about the mouse, and it's just kind of establishing that Boyce is just an empathetic person.
I think you said it best when you were like, he is the moral compass of the movie. And it establishes him as that.
But Tibbetts is like, Boyce isn't cut out to be a killer soldier.
Right.
Yeah. We're not going to make it.
Yeah.
We've only got three people, not four.
Right. So Ford sends them out to kind of check on everything. Tibbet and Chase to go check on the rest of the squad and see if anybody got off the plane.
Yeah. I like Ford. You know, he's Kurt Russell's son in real life.
Yeah.
But he's no, I mean, he's good, but he's no MacReady.
I mean, listen.
It's hard to be MacReady,
man. Yeah. Yeah, that's really like saying MacReady. He's not Jesus Christ.
Well...
What do you pray to?
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
So Boyce goes downstairs and he hears the ant and he creeps down.
Oh, this scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. This is the first moment that really scared me.
And it's the first time we see something that actually looks like it might be a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because up until now, it's really just a war movie.
It's really just the horrors
of
war.
It turns out the ant is the creepy ant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's creeping down and he looks in and he looks back, and then it's an awesome jump scare because he turns around and she's like really scaly lizardy right in his face.
Yeah, she's like peeking out of the door, and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it did.
And listen, if I was Boyce and I had the hots for Chloe, that would scare the shit out of me too. If that's what Chloe's gonna turn into, I'm out. If that's what those genes are gonna do to her, I'm out.
She looked Hills Have Eyes-ish.
She did, yeah. Hills Have Eyes-y.
But more like viscousy.
More oily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chloe and Boyce are talking, and she's saying she likes the mouse story. She's helping clean his wounds, and her little brother has shown up too and kind of tried to play baseball with them. He's got a baseball and a glove.
Yeah, and Vinny's like a real dick to that kid at the very beginning, and he's like, what is he doing? Get him away from me. Because the kid, like, when I first saw the kid did scare me.
Uh-huh.
Because he just pops up right behind Vinny out of nowhere.
Sweater S Jr.? I don't like him either.
Yeah, scared me.
Oh, he's so sweet.
No, love the kid. The kid does a great job in this movie, but the first time you see him, sort of a jump scary moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got scared. That's the premise of the podcast. Get used to it, right?
True.
But
Todd's here. He's scared. Get used to it. But he's trying to connect with the soldiers, and it's because his parents have died, we're about to find out.
Yeah.
But he says he thinks all Americans like to play baseball.
Yeah.
But Vinny's not having it. I just think that Vinny has been hurt before.
Yeah.
And just really has a hard time getting close to
people. He's been hurt before, ladies.
I relate. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now you're
Mikey is single, lady. When they're around the kitchen table and they're all talking, Boyce and the little baby brother, who's probably, what, six, seven?
He looks like a six-year-old, seven-year-old.
They start, like, rolling the ball back and forth, and he smells it, and he says it reminds me of home, and he rolls it back. And so, that's when, like, that's, like, the first time the kid and a soldier connect.
Yeah, and he's also connecting with Chloe, and she's saying, your French sounds different, and we find out it's because his grandmother's from Haiti, but they lived in Louisiana. Yeah. And so she taught him French. Then she starts talking about her family, and it's so sad. She said at first they took her father, and then a couple of weeks later they took her mother, and it was a German doctor that took both of them.
Yeah.
And she says that, or he said that it's science, his science, and the ground has power. And so they're doing some kind of experiments down there or something.
Yeah, but we don't more know or less they murdered it. Their parents.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Or did worse. Experiments. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not good, and the parents are gone, which is really sad. All right. Which is probably why this kid keeps trying to connect with these Americans.
Right. Oh, and they also experimented on the aunt. And that's why she's messed up. And they brought her back. And I guess she got.
They don't really explain how the aunt is even there.
Right.
But they definitely experimented on it.
And I'm okay with them not explaining too much.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because I feel like if they had tried to explain a lot of it, would have bogged down the movie.
Yeah.
And this is already a pretty plot heavy movie.
It is.
Know?
Yeah.
It's awesome, but lots of stuff happens. So now we see the head Nazi guy
who is
Euron Greyjoy, and he is just awful in this movie, but I love, like, he does a great job. Like, he's nuts.
Very good. Yeah.
Evil asshole.
Yeah.
And a little crazy, too.
Yeah.
He's what Euron Greyjoy should have been in Game of Thrones.
Hot takes.
Oh, you mean like maybe Game of Thrones ain't great?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they had done a good job with it, maybe. Anyway.
Stay tuned for a blog, guys.
Listen, I'm just glad to know that the guy who played Euron Greyjoy can act.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, I'd never seen him do it. So they pull up in their Jeep, and he gets out and, like, knocks on the door, and the soldiers run upstairs. What?
I think it's a station wagon.
A VW.
Oh, my God.
Definitely.
It's not a station wagon. Jesus.
Is it a hearse?
No.
It is kind of a station wagon.
My God. It sort of is. So they pull up in their mode of transpicular
like
vehicle.
A VW station wagon.
You dicks. Anyway, so they pull up, and Euron Greyjoy goes to the door, and the soldiers bolt upstairs to the attic.
Yeah.
And the boy goes up and hides behind some bins or whatever. Mm. So it's just Chloe downstairs.
Yeah.
And she opens the door eventually, and then he comes in. He comes in by himself, and at first I thought he was just going to, like, search the place or whatever, and then it's very clear that he is there to do something else.
Uh-huh.
Well, he let her go earlier, and he was like, you know, aren't you going to invite me in to stay, you know, per our arrangement?
Why didn't you cook anything tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely not his first time he's been there to...
Nope.
Rape her?
Yep. And so we find out they've got some kind of arrangement where he's allowing the brother to stay there and not take him to the church, because when he's like, do you have any time for us? And she says, no, I don't feel well. Please not tonight. She's saying, no, you asshole.
Yeah.
And he says, well, where's your brother?
And they literally call in the other soldiers to go get him. That's why the other soldiers come in.
No, but he says, have you forgotten our arrangement?
Oh, yeah.
All that to say, he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's horrible, because when she says, no, not tonight, he calls the soldiers in to find the little boy, or at least to sort of scare her, and then they hear the brother upstairs drop his baseball, and then he sends the soldiers upstairs to go check it out.
Yeah,
and this is like a very tense moment, because there are two soldiers up there, right?
Yeah, their guns pointed to him, Boyce and Ford.
Yeah, yeah, Boyce and Ford are upstairs. But anyway, so the soldiers come upstairs,
but they don't go far enough.
No,
they go just far enough because the son is standing there, and he just
the brother
is standing there, and he just drops the baseball down a couple of times.
Yeah, that brother's cool as a cucumber in this scene.
Dude, he is, man.
He holds up his baseball glove after he tosses it to Sergeant Nazi guy.
And then Sergeant Nazi guy spits on the baseball and then throws it back at him.
That Sergeant Nazi guy was also in Game of Thrones.
Also,
really?
Yeah. Spitting on the baseball.
Well, that's because a baseball is an American thing, and they hated all American things.
Yeah.
That made sense to me. Real dick move, but it made sense to me.
So now evil Nazi guy dismisses all the soldiers, and he goes down to get real comfortable with Chloe.
Yeah, because she finally is like, just stay.
Hey, and consent under threat is not consent. Just to make
I don't
that
think
clear.
Okay, that's a good point to make. I don't think anyone is confused as to whether this is or is not rape.
So evil Nazi asshole starts to kiss Chloe, and she's not really having it, but she feels like she can't say no.
She's not kissing him back. She's turning her head away. Like, he's kissing her cheeks and stuff.
And he's out of it. Down.
Yeah.
And then Boyce to the rescue, because then the barrel of his gun is right up against his head.
Do you think Ford would have let it happen?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
He would let that happen, but he won't execute a prisoner?
I know! I don't understand.
Because he is single-minded in his focus, and if he can justify not killing that Nazi to try to get something out of him. Also, I think he's got some rage and he wants to just beat the shit out of that Nazi.
Later on, I think you're right. And yeah. I do think that in his mind, not that this is the right thing to do, because I think Boyce does the right thing here. I think in his mind, he thinks if she just does this and they leave, we can then go and do our mission.
Exactly.
And we don't have to worry about that bullshit.
Yeah.
Although I think ultimately Boyce does the right thing. I think that's Ford's motivation. Right. I don't think Ford is like, yay, rape. I think he's just like.
No, right. But I think once you take him prisoner, you definitely torture him, get information out of him.
Sure.
He's a Nazi. And then you execute him. Yeah.
Also, she is not saying, hey, soldiers, help me too. Like,
no,
I think
she's not.
She kind of is understanding this too, which does not make it okay.
By any means. But it also looks like it's not nearly the first time this has happened.
Right.
And so not that makes it any better.
Right. Only to say this is a complex situation.
Yes.
There are a lot of factors to think about. And I don't think anybody but the asshole who's raping her is really doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Everybody's got different motivations for what they're
Absolutely,
doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now, but Boyce puts a gun to his head. So now the jig is up. Ford just headbutts him, takes the lighter out, and he's just being a dick about it.
Yeah. He steals his SS lighter.
Yeah.
And he said something about did the scientists get you this for bringing him things?
For your execution
that's
quota.
That's what it was. Execution quota. Yeah.
And then headbutts him.
Yeah.
Which is like, you've got hands.
Yeah. You have two hands, and he does have like brass knuckles like that are hanging on his lapels or whatever. Why would you not punch him with the brass knuckles? Why would you break your nose on his face?
Well, Ford's very hard-headed about all this.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't it be funny if he headbutted him and then just like walked away and ran into a wall or something?
Just like stumbles away.
He's out for the rest of the movie for concussion.
that would be funny.
So now Boyce goes to the church, I think to try to rendezvous or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he goes up and sneaks.
No, the two other squad mates were sent to the rendezvous point to see if other soldiers made it out. Mm-hmm. Then
Vinny
Ford
and
goes,
Chase. Yeah, Chase.
Yeah,
Chase,
photographer
Chase.
Man.
And then Ford orders him. He's like, go get those guys back. This is a bad turn of events.
Yeah.
So he goes out.
And so he sees from atop a hill, he sees that they're pulling these bodies that are not quite dead yet out on a truck and then flamethrowing the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
He's running back through the forest and a truck is coming out. So he hides in the bushes from the truck, but then he sees an evil dog with like evil Nazi zombie-ness in his eyes.
Was it a German Shepherd?
It probably was a German Shepherd, actually. Yeah.
Well,
either way,
it had
meat on the mind.
It did. And like gleam in its eyes that Boyce did not like.
Yeah.
So Boyce runs away,
right.
Jumps onto the back of this body truck, and he jumps in and he notices, well, now I'm just on a pile of dead bodies.
Yes.
And it's terrible.
Boyce goes on a series of unfortunate events.
He does.
I don't think the rendezvous point was at the Nazi compound. I think he took a wrong turn way before.
He's
the dog.
New to town. He doesn't quite know the directions where he's going. I get it, man. I've made wrong turns in new towns.
I know where you're not going. The giant Nazi compound you can see from all over the city.
There was a dog chasing him.
Yeah.
It was an evil zombie Nazi dog. All right, so now he's in this dead body truck, and it pulls into the base under the tunnel.
Can I say this before we move on with that? Why doesn't he stab anything with his knife? Like, he could have killed that dog pretty quietly with the knife. Yeah.
He's got a bayonet on his gun.
I know.
Too.
This is the second problem Todd and I have with this movie. Is that Boyce has a phobia of knives.
Honestly, this movie is just Boyce getting over his knife phobia.
Yeah.
Because he eventually does learn the power of a knife.
Does he?
Yeah, at the end.
Oh, he stabbed the doctor. That's right. Yeah.
But the whole movie is him avoiding using his knife.
That's the whole arc.
Yeah, that's the story arc, man.
I know. Nailed it.
It's very sharp.
Knifed it.
Ooh. All right. So now he ends up inside the base underneath the tower, and he's seeing evil doctors walking around, and he's hearing like moany screams.
Yeah.
And there's this wall of holes, and he's hearing screaming coming from the other side.
Yeah. So he eventually gets out of the truck, right? And then finds his way into the base, right? And then you see the three glory holes, and then he hides as like
Listeners,
the doctors
I'm
are coming
sorry.
By.
Well, he gets ready as the doctors come by.
Yeah. And so he's hiding, and then the doctor's like beating on the peepholes, right, to look inside them. Do we ever look in one of those holes?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we
I'm
do.
Not
That's right.
You guys
it scared the
do.
Shit out of me.
I just don't understand the point of a glory hole.
Well,
you
Jen,
should Google it.
Counterpoint.
I know what it is. So he sees three glory holes, one with blood dripping out of it. And
that's not the one you go for.
No.
No. I don't do that. That's just common sense.
Right.
All right. So he's walking up to this hole in the wall and he's sticking his eye right up next to
it. Oh, God. Ugh. Never stick your eye into a hole.
No. Ugh. And so what he sees is a gross, bloody, gross eye.
It's another jump scary moment. It's sort of like the
end. It scared the shit out of Todd.
It did scare the shit out of me. We got some good footage of this.
Yeah. So he looks in the hole and you see a door and then a big scary zombie guy pops up.
Yeah,
shit,
dude.
That scared the fuck out of me.
It
was
gross.
Really sudden. It was a jump scare. It was the definition of a jump scare.
Yeah, and there are a couple of those in this movie, and I feel like they're earned, and I like them.
Yeah, you they know, scare they Todd.
And I used The Nun as a good example of bad jump scares, and it wasn't that. Earned a jump scare is what I would call it.
And they're few and far between, and when you see one, it's gross shit. That furthers the plot, too.
Or the boy.
I mean, it might have been a ghost boy. I've seen the others. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, spoiler.
Ghost boy. Wait.
That's my superhero name.
Ghost boy? Yeah. Because you love him and ghost him.
Love's a strong word, Todd.
Well, for 10 minutes at a time.
10 minutes is a strong word, Todd.
All right, so now Boyce is creeping around, and he's seeing the Nazis at the radio tower, and he also sees this lab thing.
Yes.
And just starts to see some really gross shit.
Yeah, is this when he's like creeping through the lab, and he's like, he finds a syringe, but he also sort of unzips where these people are hanging?
Yeah, well, okay, so there's a big sack hanging from the ceiling, and Todd was like, is that a hand? What is it? Is it a person in there?
It does kind of look like a big sack.
It looks like a big human sack.
I'm just waiting for a movie where we don't talk about sacks.
Anyway, so yeah.
So he unzips a little bit of the sack and just real gross shit starts to come out. And this guy with like some kind of thing on his face.
It's a mask so he can breathe.
This whole thing was so gross. Like the body horror stuff doesn't always get to me, but it really got to me in this scene. Yeah. Especially when he finds the Rosenthal?
Yeah, but before that, he sees a bunch of syringes and he takes one.
He pockets one.
And then he hears a voice.
And the needle's not even blocked. He could have stuck himself the whole time. Right out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he hears a lady's voice and he hears it coming from behind a curtain.
And he pulls
the curtain back and it's just the woman's head and her spinal cord. Somehow she's still alive and she's talking to him. She's like, help me.
Please help me. Please help me.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I like this part a lot.
It's so gross.
I do too. It's really effective and gross.
It's really effective at making
you. Would you have taken the head with you?
No!
What are you gonna do for that head?
I'll do anything, Jen.
Oh my god.
Mikey just saw that lob coming and he just swung away.
Yeah. Wow. He called a shot. Mikey called a shot for sure. Wow. All right. The nicest thing you could do is probably put her out of her misery. I mean, there's no coming back from being just a head.
In any problem, two heads are better than one.
Quit while you're ahead, Mikey.
They're not always.
Okay. So they see Rosenfeld and he's on this table and he's got this giant vacuum cleaner like thing.
He's got a Dyson stuck in his side. Yeah.
Like sewed to his side.
It looks like the black piping of a gutter.
Yes,
drain.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, it's real gross.
It's sewed to his skin and it's terrible.
Yeah, stand by, listeners. This is another time Boyce fails to like realize the importance of knives.
Of a knife, yeah.
But he also saves Rosenfeld.
He does.
So but in I'll a really unnecessarily painful way.
Yes.
Well, but before he just rips the fuck out of whatever sticking in his stomach, we see an evil doctor come in and pull this dead guy who's strapped to some table and he injects him with this syringe thing and the guy starts jerking and coming back to life or something. And so then they're like, okay, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And Rosenfeld on the plane was like, what do you think the Nazis are going to do to a guy named Rosenfeld? So he wants to get the fuck out of there.
Well, and we found out. Yeah.
Exactly.
They experiment on you.
But he
rips out that whatever the needle hose thing that's in his side. Mm-hmm. And I almost threw up.
Yeah.
It was fucking gross.
It was gross. And it grossed you out. But it also was like he could have cut those stitches and that thing would have came right out.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there is no reason for it to be this painful for him.
He's like, Rosenthal, this is going to hurt you. And then Rosenthal's like, use your knife to cut it off. Please.
It would have been awesome if he's like, Rosenthal, it's going to hurt. Doesn't have to.
Right. Dude, I got a scar phobia and ripping stitches just
I honestly expected that thing because it looks sort of wide.
Yeah.
I expected that to be like on like his one of his intestines and for those to come out too and if for it to kill him.
I expected to be a big hole in his side.
I was so scared of that and I was about to throw it because that's what my mind was thinking.
Yeah, right. So they pull the tubing out, the big giant gutter hose, and it's not there was a giant hole in his chest. It was just like a big needle going
right. And like the place where the stitches got ripped.
Better than like a big ass hole in your side.
Right. Yes. But he's okay, pretty much okay for the rest of the movie. Yeah. Considering this shit.
I mean, he actually fights with them later on. So he is fine.
Yeah. And so now they all end up back in the attic.
Yeah.
And they're...
Well, plot point we're missing. Boyce finds a secret passage in and out of the lab on like one of the graves.
And so they break out and they get out and everybody kind of ends up back in the attic together at different times. But so Boyce and Rosenfeld are the last ones to get there.
We're back in the attic.
They're back. And Boyce is saying, dude, they're fucking experimenting on people there. I got a like eyes on the tower, but there's a bunch of fucked up shit going down there. And he pulls out the syringe and he's like, look, this is what I got. So now they go up to the attic where they got the Nazi guy tied up and they're like, what the fuck is
downplaying
this?
His anxiety attack here because he's like, there's a talking cat, they're not doing all this stuff.
Yeah, he is sort of losing his shit, but Ford is trying to keep him focused.
Yeah, he's like
on the mission.
Ford focused.
Ford is like
nailed it. Well done.
But he's like, what about the radio tower? And he's like, fuck the radio tower. Yeah. There's like a head on a stick that's talking down there.
Yeah, literally.
And everybody was like, why didn't you bring it?
They're just giving out head.
All right, so they're asking the Nazi guy what the syringe is, and he's just being a dick about it with his crazy Euron Greyjoy eyes. So then Ford starts to hit him. So Euron Greyjoy starts talking about the bodies they've tortured and looking straight at Chloe and talking about her. And you can just see the rage like building in her eyes.
I love
it. He's strung up on rope on the ceiling now.
I don't think he's strung up yet. He's still on the ground because she runs over and stabs him in the fucking leg.
Uh-huh, and it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking about like all the people that don't matter, the people that are her parents and her aunt and like everybody in her village.
Yeah.
I don't say violence is okay, but I mean, this guy's a
violence
dick.
Is okay against Nazis.
Yeah, I feel like he's not only a Nazi, he's also like a rapist and he's a horrible dude on top of being an SS Nazi.
But so anyways, she stabs him in the leg and then she runs down and then Ford is staring at him and just like twisting the knife.
He like bends it and then pulls it out and it's like,
and
so
stabs it right next to his head.
Gross. That was badass though. Yeah.
It was. A cool
it was.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge power move.
Yeah. And then starts to punch him. And then Ford's like, this is when they pull him up. And so he's
string
like
him up.
Hanging. And then Ford starts to punch him and asking him what's going on inside the compound.
He's a human heavy bag.
Yeah. Well, Ford does a little bit of a striptease, takes a little bit of his clothes off.
Yes,
so
he
can get some more. Oh, Jen was into it.
I mean,
bah, bah, nah, nah, bah.
He looks
bah,
like bah, Kurt Russell.
Pow, pow.
Bah, bah, nah, nah, nah. Punch, pow, punch, pow, punch, pow, punch. Pow. Yeah, absolutely. But he's like beating the fook out of this dude with his brass knuckles.
Hasn't gotten the brass knuckles.
No, he hasn't gotten the brass knuckles.
Because Boyce is like, dude, what are you doing? We can't be like them.
Being the moral compass that he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see Boyce's argument. Yeah. And I like that they're presenting this kind of dichotomy between Boyce and Ford. I like that dynamic.
I like it too because I don't really feel like either of them are bad people.
I was going to say
the same thing.
They
just have two different ways of going about it.
Right. And I don't think either of them is really wrong.
Right.
It's just two different viewpoints. And so when they're talking things out, both of their viewpoints mix together and they're successful in their mission. Yeah. But so he's saying, like, we have to be better than them. And Ford's saying, you have to play dirty to beat dirty people. And so this is when Boyce goes downstairs and Ford gets his brass knuckles out. And they're brass knuckles with, like, a knife on the side of them.
Yeah, cool.
Dude. I don't know how you didn't just punch stab the dude in the face every time.
Well, because you punch him with the knuckles and the knife is then either down
like the
or
knife is
up.
Like your pinky.
Yeah.
Well, still.
No, absolutely.
Be careful with those things, Ford. Although he looks like he knows what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Russell slipped and cut the Nazi. It's not like the end of the world.
No, it's not.
Boyce goes down and starts talking to Chloe and he's just talking about how his life has changed so much.
Oh,
and eventually they all come down and they start making this plan to try to blow up the church because there's still only like 2 hours
This is still
left.
Like a funny scene because like he's like, Chloe, let's talk a little bit. And like upstairs, you hear the screams of a man being tortured.
He's downstairs like, Chloe, want to smash?
Let me tell you the story about Moe and Milan.
Ooh. He does talk about how he manscapes. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
He can get it. So eventually they all come down and they start making this plan. And they send Chase up alone to cut this Nazi guy down.
And, so dumb.
And he's hanging from the ceiling and he's got this bag over his head.
Chase is the photographer mustache guy, right?
Yes. Not mustache hole. Yes. He thinks he's asleep, which, you're not asleep. Mm-hmm. You don't fall asleep in 20 seconds after having the shit beat out of you.
Also, just be careful.
No.
It sounds plausible.
No.
But also, just be careful.
Being careful is also
Shoot him in the face.
Yeah, just execute him at this point.
And then take him down.
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh. Because what happens?
Because he gets kicked in the leg, and then this part is crazy because he somehow gets his gun and just starts shooting randomly with a bag over his head. He shoots Chase in the chest a couple of times, and then they run upstairs and they knock him down. But
why?
Chase, this part is so sad.
Boy spears him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they've got him subdued now, but Chase is laying on the ground and he's dying. And it's really sad.
Oh, man. Because
they pull
real
up,
sad.
Like, you can see the wounds on his chest. And he's like, I don't feel good.
How bad is it?
It's not that bad, is it?
It's not great.
Right. And then he dies. And it's really sad. And everybody's sad.
But
Boyce has got the syringe.
And he saw what they did with his syringe before.
He did, yeah.
And it sort of reanimated the dead corpse before. So he was like, hey, I saw something really horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
And why not see if we can duplicate that horribleness here?
Right. I can't use a knife or execute a prisoner, but like, I'm going to try to bring my friend back from the dead using a completely inhumane method.
Yeah. Mm. It's going to be fine, guys. Yeah, I saw a creepy Nazi doctor do this once. It's going to be cool.
Spoiler. It's not fine.
And it's not cool.
And it's not. And it's pretty terrible.
Yes.
But also kind of badass.
It's kind of more terrible than executing the prisoner.
Yeah,
because
you gotta execute him like 3 times. Okay, so because he injects him, and then they all kind of like go about their business.
They're about to take the Nazi downstairs.
Right. And then he sits up and starts coughing. He's like, what the fuck? Like licking around. He's like, I'm thirsty.
I'm real thirsty.
Yeah, so they give him the canteen and he drinks it and then just like crushes it.
Yeah, he does not understand his strength.
That's
really
weird.
Yeah.
Right, right. So he's walking around and he says his head's hurting and he's starting to see this shit coming through his veins.
Oh, yeah.
And he hits his head against the post and like smashes the shit out of it.
Yeah, he's got super strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he like snaps his head back and his collarbone starts spitting out. It is super
this body
disturbing.
Horror really
he,
got me.
Doesn't just snap his head back, like completely back, and breaks his head off. Like it's dangling by a thing.
His bones
so
are
gross.
Sticking out of his body, and then he jerks it back up, and like his neck is all screwed around, but it doesn't seem to be like hurting him.
But he's yelling,
he's
real
just
angry.
Like, what
Roid
the
raging.
Fuck? Yeah, and then people start attacking him, and he's like pushing them across the room.
Well, he starts to get a little aggressive with them. Like, you did this to me. Why'd you do this to me? What's going on?
Boys and holds him up over the He picks him up.
And I think Ford shoots him.
Well, and
a bunch of times.
Yeah,
and
then
he
falls to the ground, and then he comes back up again.
Nazi prisoner goes, 1,000-year Reich needs 1,000-year soldiers.
Yeah. You asked what the thing was about. This is what we've been doing. Like, you asked what the syringe was for.
Yes.
Now you know.
And then Chase stands up after being shot a bunch, but instead of getting shot again, Boyce comes over and like hammer smashes him with the butt of his rifle and then beats his head in.
Destroys
smashes
his head.
It like a and then Boyce becomes Mance.
Yeah. He becomes a Mance.
Yeah, and this is part of his like a turning point for him because this is showing he may have let that mouse go, but when shit needs to be done, he's gonna do it.
Yeah, especially when he's at fault.
Oh, my bad guys. Sorry about that. And I didn't realize it would make him a super zombie Nazi soldier. So
I didn't realize it was gonna make it so much worse for my friend.
Yeah.
But he yelled like, I hate mustaches while he was smashing his head. And I don't even know what was
Stop
going on.
Stop taking pictures of me when I'm not looking. Smashed his head. Yeah. So in all of this chaos, Vinny has just been holding loosely on to the Nazi guy. Nazi guy runs out, grabs the little boy, and then goes out. And so he's outside and all of the Nazi soldiers who now know that he's in trouble are there to help him. So they're having this giant gunfight.
Well, because Ford runs after him and runs outside and ends up killing a few Nazis as Euron Greyjoy gets to the Jeep or station wagon or hearse and they cut him loose and then he drives off with the boy.
Yeah, yeah, but not before. before Ford shoots him in the cheek.
That's true. Ford shoots him in the face. Yeah. I thought he was dead.
Yeah. Me too.
You see a chunk of him.
Yeah,
fly
you
off.
See a chunk. I mean, I actually asked. I was like, "Did he shoot him in the face?"
Right.
And yeah, he did.
They did.
So he races back to the church to the lab, right?
Yeah. And so now our team is arguing about what to do, and of course Chloe's going to want to go get her brother, but Ford and Boyce are arguing about whether they should go try to save the boy or they should just blow the tower up from the outside.
Yeah.
And Boyce's argument is, "Let's go get the boy because it's the right thing to do, and it's our fault that he got taken anyway."
It's also sort of on the way.
Right. Well, that's what Tibbetts is like. Well, okay, so what Ford is saying is we should blow it up from the outside.
Yeah.
And Boyce is saying, but if you do that, the boy, Paul, is going to be dead. And here's a way. I know I've been in there. I can lead us in there. I can do this. Let's do it. And so Ford gives him a direct order saying, and Boyce is saying, no, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And because he does know the secret passage in by the catacombs to get in. So he can get them in safely.
Yeah. I actually like this scene because Boyce just goes, no. He like finally learns to stand up for himself.
Did you notice that there's no music? There's no other ambient sound. They cut all of that out and it's just Boyce talking to Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sort of like you're in Boyce's head, except there's no ringing. And clearly he has tinnitus at this point.
Yeah, but,
I think they all do. They're all just yelling for the entire movie.
Yeah. But anyway, so he does yell, no. We're going to go get him. And Vinny is like, you know what? We're going to do it.
Yeah.
I think at this point, Vinny's like, we're going to die. I just saw my friend come back to life and we had to kill him again. And like, this is the worst. Let's just get this over with.
Yeah.
And so Ford is like, okay. He backs down when he sees how adamant Boyce is. And Boyce is making a good argument. He's like, you just know that our odds of walking out of there go way down if we do this. And he's kind of signing on. He's like, this is our mission. We're probably going to die, but this is what we have to do. Yep. And you're insisting we go help these people, and I'm on board now. And so now we're back to the evil Nazi in the doctor's lab. This is Euron Greyjoy, and he's got Paul, the little boy, and he comes in and his face is all fucked up.
You don't really see it, though, because his hand's on it, and he's just like grabbing for the syringes and stabs himself twice with these syringes, and the doctor's like, no, we've never tested it on a live patient.
I know.
What are you doing? And then he sort of reveals that his face, he looks like Red Skull. I don't know how to say it.
How bad the scientist is, because they've killed hundreds of people testing it, and they've never once tested on a live one of them.
Yeah. Are you saying he was a bad Nazi for only trying it on dead people?
Well, he killed them first and then tried it. Just saying, it's bad science. Like, where's the control variable here?
Yeah. HIPAA.
Yeah, I like that. That's your problem.
He reveals
rough stance, Mikey.
He's not even a good Nazi scientist.
No, we would not have picked him up in Operation Paperclip. Nerds! Sorry. Did you get that joke?
Yeah.
Nice!
That's how we got to the moon.
So now he reveals himself to be an evil face monster with half of his face all bloody, and he's like a super evil.
Do you know Red Skull?
No.
It's from Captain America, but he looks like that because his face is sort of just like skull and red. And it sort of just looks like that because his fucking face is blown off and you see his teeth and stuff.
And he's just smiling his little evil grin.
Oh, yeah.
And so, this is when I decide that I love this
movie. You said that during the movie. I don't understand why that made you love the movie.
I don't know. It's just so cool and awesome and scary, but also like fun. And the stakes are real low for me. And I just love it.
Yeah. I mean, he only has Chloe's brother and probably is going to kill him and
but
is
I've
now a super soldier.
Yeah,
super low stakes,
just
guys.
Like one French kid.
Yeah, they're making a 1,000-year Reich army. Yeah, it's super low stakes, guys.
It just works for me. I don't know why. I can't explain it.
Well, I do understand. I do understand because when I read the book of this, like that part really hit home with me.
And you know what? I have been to Normandy. So I think that's why.
That's what it is, man. She's been there.
I have.
She stood at that church. She gets it.
I did, man. And that's why I love this evil Nazi evilness. I don't love the Nazis.
Thank you for clarifying. Thank you for clarifying.
I love that they're
some
evil.
Follow-up questions.
Yeah, so first off.
But there's no nuance. There's no, like, we're not going to redeem this guy's character. Like, he is just fucking evil.
This is a video game evil bad guy.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's why it feels like Wolfenstein to me. And honestly, if he had come out as Mecha Hitler, I would have been like, I get this.
He basically does. Because
I know.
His mouth starts healing a little bit.
Ugh, yeah.
Oh, and I love this part too, because now their plan is to lure the terrible backup soldiers away.
Jen is so excited right now.
Dude, I fucking love this movie so much. Here's the plan. So they're going to lure this evil sidecar monster guy away. He was like the second in command to the main Nazi guy, though.
He's a bad dude.
Oh, yeah. He's terrible. And so he's got this sidecar. And we kept singing, Get out of my dreams.
And into my sidecar. Yeah. Well, I love this part.
She's like, well, hey, and then like runs, and then he takes the motorcycle.
Hey, girl, hey.
I think this was one of the best filmed scenes of the movie was this motorcycle.
Oh, the
chase.
Sequence where he's chasing her down with that motorcycle. Yeah, it was good.
It's nice.
Yeah, I really
dude, the one
it.
Shot where it like tracks her and like the motorcycle are all in the same shot. It was done
I
very well.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
And while we're talking about that, I don't think there's really anything in this movie that looks bad.
Agree.
Stuff that's
hardcore
gross,
agree.
But it is really well made, I think.
So anyway, he does chase her down. He jumps on her. Looks like he's about to get a little molesty.
No, he is already on top of her.
Well, I mean, but
that's
like
molesty.
Yeah.
More molesty looking because he's like,
He definitely could have done more than he did.
If he had had time, he would. Yes.
Yeah, but she knows he doesn't, so she smiles, and then you see the gun in the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
I love the next scene, because you see him on the motorcycle from pretty far away, and I was like, did they just let him go? Right. What are they doing? That was dumb.
Yeah, you guys were like, another guy they didn't execute.
I know.
No. They have a plan.
Yeah, and they do, and you actually said that. I was like, okay, I'll watch.
Okay, so executing the guy in the attic is not okay, but this plan is okay?
They
should have done this
too.
With the guy in the attic, but yeah, I mean, whatever. So he pulls up to the base, like the entrance. They let him in because he's, you know, one of them. Mm-hmm. And then he's got tape over his mouth and a sidecar full of bombs. And he's like got his hands tied to the handlebars.
Yeah, and he's going.
Yeah. And people come over like, what are you saying? He's like, no, don't touch me. Because they're trying to rip the tape off.
He doesn't say that.
No, he can't. He's got tape on him. So they're trying to pull the tape off. And he's like turning his head back and forth. And they eventually do. And you hear the click of a grenade pin getting pulled out.
It's on the tape, which I think is a cool shot.
You see the grenade in his mouth, and then they move like a blanket, and under the blanket in the sidecar is like three sticks of C4.
Like all the fireworks.
Oh, it's so great. And then it blows up and kills all of them. Oh,
yeah.
It doesn't kill all of them.
Well, a lot of them.
It explodes a bunch of stuff in the beginning, and then that's when Rosenfeld and Tibbetts just start unloading on everybody else because they are covering from above.
And a cool
Tibbetts
video is like game, a Nazi alarm goes off.
Yeah. And Tibbetts is like the sharpshooter. Mm-hmm. He's like a sniper. He's got a scope on his gun. He's like tagging people from afar.
Yeah.
And Rosenfeld, he's got like a BAR rifle, which is like an automatic rifle.
He's got a machine gun. It's mounted.
It is. They got a little tripod on it. Mm-hmm. And he's just like mowing them down as they come out of the base.
And somebody grabs a handgun and is very
That's Tibbetts.
Too. Yeah.
Because Tibbetts' gun runs out of bullets and so does Rosenfeld. So he just starts taking him out with a pistol from like really far away.
And let's say this now because we're about to get into a section where a lot of things go back and forth.
Yeah.
But Rosenfeld and Tibbetts for the rest of the movie until it's resolved are just having this major gunfight outside.
Yeah, the Nazis chase him back to town and they barely get away, but it's like a thing.
Hold their own and they are awesome and they really help out by keeping the people off the trail.
Yeah, but like for the sake of the conversation, that's happening and they keep cutting back between that and what's happening in the bunker or in the church, and we'll just talk about them in sections. So they're outside fighting.
Yeah, their plan was to lure all the Nazis out of the base.
Yeah, and they do.
All right, but so now they're inside the radio tower, and Ford stabs the radio guy in the throat. Oh. Chloe has already run off to try to get the brother.
Yeah, because when they first walk in, they're like, hey, we're going to go to the radio tower first, bomb it up, you know, put the timer on it or whatever, and then we'll try and find your brother. And she's like, no, I don't have time for that. I'm going now.
Yeah.
So she goes off by herself.
Mm-hmm. And Ford is setting all this stuff, and he's like, you got 18 minutes.
If
go
you're
set
not
up
out
the 18 lab.
Minutes, you're dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's go back to Chloe, because Chloe sees two guys in the hall, and she's like, where the fuck is
like
my brother?
I love this.
Dude.
Yeah, it's like
too.
A ticking clock, Mikey. It's
no,
like
it
a ticking
is.
Clock.
Ticking bombs.
They
dude.
Have
literal
introduced
bombs.
A ticking time
bombs.
Bomb.
All the ticking pine bombs.
A ticking clock.
But it is very much like a ticking clock you stick in like an oven turkey and
and a temperature we're taking the temperature of the situation too.
Right.
It's high
chair
high is not a temperature
team chair
anyway so Chloe rolls up on these two dudes and has them at gunpoint and she's like, where's my brother? And one of them's like, how would I know?
So she just kids all day, lady.
I'm so busy. Which one was your brother? And she just shoots that dude in the face, and the guy's like, I could take you to him.
Right. But he doesn't take her to the brother.
Honestly, if you don't know where her brother is, you're going to try and be as helpful as possible.
Exactly.
Or pull a fast one, which
or
she tries
take him
to do.
To Torso Man.
So anyway, the Nazi does try and pull a fast one. It takes her to like where the prison cells are, right?
Yeah, where all the glory holes were. I'm sorry, where all the peepholes were.
I think you said it right the
he
first
said, he
time.
He said, hey. Come in my hole.
No,
Mikey, no. Don't
well,
ever say that.
Well, and so she looks
again.
And she's like, he's in there. And there's just like a torso laying on the
it's
floor.
It's so dark, though. She can't see it. So she has to like do this dance around him while she's holding the gun on him. And she gets close to the door and it's just a torso. So she sort of gets out. How does she get away in that situation?
Voice.
That's right.
He's about to shoot her
that's
and
right,
voice like
she's,
butts him with his gun.
That's right. He falls to the ground. They run off. And then Torso Man grabs him and pulls him in there.
Yeah.
It's real gross.
Grabs the Nazi guy and
yes,
pulls him
sorry.
In.
Right, yeah, to be clear.
Turns out the torso had his arms and legs and head.
Yeah. Well, the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Well, two legs and one arm.
And maybe that torso is just the torso of somebody that dude had already eaten.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. We just called him Torso Man for the rest of his short
life. Even though he had every appendage except for
except
he
for
had one and a half arms. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it was weird because the bone was sticking out of the other arm. So it was like a stabbing implement, which comes in later because he's the one that's chasing her down.
This is a video game.
It's 100%. It reminded me a little bit of Resident Evil, and I haven't played this Wolfenstein thing, so that's
my
why.
My gosh. It you is say like it was like behind Doom, it's like the most influential it is the, first person shooter.
Great.
There is no Jen's like, yeah, but I'm not a fucking boy or whatever.
Like, she's like, I'm married. Yeah.
But I had a life always. So
aw, well, I had sex, so
well
that's painful.
Fair.
Right. All right. So now Boyce and Chloe are in the lab and they find Paul and they save him. So
yes.
Chloe's carrying him out and getting him down into that sewer tunnel that we saw Rosenfeld and Boyce get to earlier.
Oh my God.
Stick Paul in there.
I love this scene.
It's amazing.
Torso Man interrupts their escape.
Yeah. Because he jerks Chloe's arm back.
But Paul does get in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
Paul the brother.
Yeah. And he's waiting for Chloe and he just like is screaming at this torso. Torso Man.
The Torso Man takes his sister and instead of like helping, he just goes, ah, and
she
he just
tells
runs
him to.
Off.
That's not necessarily unfair. Or that's not necessarily
also,
fair.
He's like six.
Yeah, no, I don't think she told him to.
No, she did. She gets thrown all the way to the other wall by Torso Man because he's got super strength. And she goes, Paul, run. And he's like, you didn't have to tell me. Yeah, I am already gone.
He's already
gone.
Halfway down the tunnel.
You just see puddle steps as he's running down the.
I've never seen a kid run that fast.
Yeah, he pumped up his knife. He's like,
he doesn't stop running until he runs. To the other people back at his house.
We'll get to that. Chloe starts shooting at Torso Man, who's not torsoed.
No, but that's what we call him.
Yeah, but he's trying to like attack her and hold her and stab her with his bone arm.
And this is when he like punches the whatever it is
with
right
his,
next
with
to
his
her.
Bone.
Yeah, his stump.
Yeah.
With his stumpy bone.
And so she shoots him under the
three
chin like
times.
Yeah, dude, because
right
she
in the
is
head.
Fucking badass. And
but
I
she
love
doesn't
her.
Leave. She should have gone the same way Paul did, but instead she sort of like ambles
tip-toes
off down the hallway.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that at all.
And they end up back into the tunnel, but it turns out okay because she's in this car tunnel and then she finds the flamethrower.
Yeah, she finds the flamethrowers and he runs out and she flames him down and then she drops the flamethrower and leaves. I would have kept that.
Yeah, forever.
Yes.
Flamethrowers
are
awesome.
Flamethrowers
are
so cool.
They're awesome.
All right,
she,
so now
she starts running back to the town. Yeah. So let's go back to what's
Boyce.
Happening in the church.
Everybody's putting bombs everywhere in the thing.
Yeah, so Ford has put him up in the radio tower.
Control room.
Yeah, in the control room. And Boyce is putting them all around the lab.
On the sacks.
Yes.
But
on the beams around the sacks, yeah.
Look, the beams need attention, not just the sacks.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, don't ignore the sacks, but you got to actually focus on the beams if you want anything magical to happen.
Yeah.
Magical?
Oh my God.
Oh,
we
listeners.
Are insanely
I'm
gross.
Sorry.
It's late, guys. It's late.
It is, yeah.
Shit happens.
I
weird shit happens
in the
late.
Morning.
Horror virgin
these
after
jokes dark. So Ford is putting all the bombs around and now evil Nazi face monster is right behind him and grabs him and crushes the timer to the bomb. And now evil Nazi doctor is behind Boyce. And this is when Boyce realizes he's had a knife on him this whole time.
Oh my God. That's not the knife he uses though. He doesn't use his knife.
He uses, and you started singing the Itsy Bitsy Doctor for some
well,
reason.
Well, because he was like, the doctor's like creeping up behind find them. And he's like a doctor. He's like a nerd. Like, there's no way he's going to actually be able to kill this guy. So if I was that doctor, I would have shot him immediately. There's no reason to keep him alive at all. But because he's dumb, he keeps Boyce alive. And Boyce and him struggle. And then a scalpel falls to the ground. And Boyce learns the magic of using knives.
Yeah. Sharp objects.
Yeah, he overcomes his fear of knife.
Meanwhile, Face Monster is thanking Ford for making him the man that he's now become.
Oh my god, I thought that was so insane.
Yeah, dude, he's nuts. So let's go back to Tibbetts and Rosenfeld for just a minute, because this is when they are having their shootout and Paul starts running
Paul
through.
Has Forrest Gumped it from the Nazi compound. To the two soldiers.
And he just runs and he ends up standing like right in the middle of this gunfight. And so Tibbetts, whose heart has grown three sizes over the course of this movie and he's learned to love other people, he's got to go save this kid. And so Rosenfeld's covering him. Chloe shows up with a machine gun and they all just start shooting. Tibbetts grabs the kid, makes a few wisecracks along the way, and then picks him back up. But right before he's about to set him down, he gets shot in the
back. Here's where Tibbetts made a mistake. He hands him to Rosenfeld, he should have just dove over the wall.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you might have hurt the kid a little bit, but we're talking like a scraped knee kind of hurt, right?
Like 20 people have just tried to shoot this kid. So let's see what the real
danger
is.
Not just people, Nazis.
Exactly.
Yeah, honestly, I thought Tibbetts was going to die.
Yeah,
I thought he died.
Shot real bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now we're back to Face Monster, and he pulls Ford up and just like Texas Chainsaw Massacre puts him on this hook.
Shit, I hated this.
Yeah, he hangs him from a hook like a meat locker.
It was so gross, but from his front.
Yeah.
Like
under
his
rib cage.
Oh, like right under sternum. Oh.
And it's like the turnabout scene or like revenge from when he was beating the shit out of him.
He even says the same things to Ford that Ford said to him when he was beating his ass.
What's in the compound?
Yeah.
Me.
It's rough. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he says there's power under this tower and the French were too weak to refine it. Yeah, it did rhyme.
Tower of Power, baby. That's a pretty good band. Check them out.
But he's saying we've harnessed this power because we're evil Nazis.
He explains that they are putting the tar through French people and then like their bodies are refining it, so they're killing French people to
they
get it.
They sort of blah blah through it.
Exactly.
That's fine.
I'm okay with it.
Lots of people died for them to make the syrup.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was tar the first two times I watched this movie.
It was just something and it made them.
It doesn't matter.
It's monster meth. Like it's 1000% monster meth.
He did the meth.
he did the monster meth.
So now Boyce shows up and shoots him a bunch of times, but he doesn't die because he's all syringed out.
Yeah.
And he just stares at him and roars.
Should have shot him earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Finally,
Wish I had shot him before he messed up.
And so now he
But that
starts...
does give Ford the chance to pull himself off of the meat hook.
Yeah.
And he's like maybe 3 feet off the ground. Like his feet are 3 feet off the ground. Mm. So he has to lift his entire body weight while a hook is in his sternum and then fall to the ground.
He doesn't make it the first time either.
No, I don't like this.
But so Face Monster Nazi has thrown Boyce through a window. And this is what gives Ford the window to do this because Face Monster Nazi is now in another room trying to drown Boyce in like a puddle full of water and bodies.
It's like a big ass tub. I don't really know what it's for,
Really
nasty.
I think there's
water.
A few dead bodies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's talking about like, I'll make sure Chloe knows that you're dead and just being a dick.
I'll tell Chloe hello for you or goodbye for you or something like that.
Guys, this guy is an asshole.
Yeah. He's a Nazi. I don't think you have to say he's the worst. He's a Nazi.
So Nazi Monster is drowning Boyce and Ford just stabs him from behind with his gigantic pole.
Oh yeah, he gets him from behind with his gigantic pole.
And oh my god, it's just fucking amazing.
It is pretty amazing how big that thing is. You're right.
And it just comes right out.
It does come right out. He's definitely Kurt Russell's son.
I feel like you're stepping on my awesomeness, but I'll allow it because I'm inviting it. But anyway, so he stabs
him. He was not inviting it.
Like through his chest.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he turns around and he just roars at him and he just like pushes it through with his all gross red face grinning the whole time. Yeah. It is just, I just love it.
No, I agree. It was a really cool scene. Who doesn't want to see a Nazi super soldier versus an American super soldier? It's
right?
Cool.
It is. I just love it so much. This is the part in the movie where I was like, fuck, this movie is amazing. So he pulls this thing out, and so they're fighting again, and he says a couple of things that are a little cheesy. He's like, how does the blood of eternity feel? And they monster fight all over the place.
The monster fighting was cool. Some of the dialogue was not cool.
Part of Nazi boot camp is like really cheesy, like evil lines.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely true. Like week two of Nazi boot camp.
That's
like
before the physical.
It is. Week one is all how to tuck your pants into your boots. Uh-huh. Week two is shitty pun humor.
There's boot clicking as week three.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, it's very intensive.
All right. So now Boyce remembers that he saw Jaws and scoots an oxygen tank over by evil Nazi monster.
Yeah.
And they kind of have a look. They're like, do you remember that scene from Jaws? Yeah, I got it.
Ford scoots the oxygen tank.
I don't remember.
I said that too. I was like, are they going to kill him like Jaws?
Yeah, Ford smiles, rolls it over, and he like smiles at the Nazi. And the
smile,
Nazi's like,
you son of a bitch.
I think he's just a little upset because the Nazi guy can't smile. He doesn't have the other half of his cheek.
That's why his one-liners are so bad, because it's very tongue-in-cheek humor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I get it.
Less offensive. I'll allow it.
Yeah. I'm into it.
But so anyways, he says, smile, you son of a bitch, and he blows him. He shoots the oxygen tank and blows him
up. It's a team up.
And everything blows up, and all of a Boyce's hearing is now destroyed.
Yeah, there's no way he can hear anything the rest of this movie.
And so evil Nazi man has now fallen into this tar well of evilness. Mm-hmm. And so Boyce is like, okay, now we can escape. And Ford's like, yeah, okay, here we go. And tricks Boyce into walking out the gate and then locks it and throws the key away and has the scene from Armageddon where he's like, you gotta go on. I was never gonna get out of here.
I actually like the scene because Ford's no one can know about this, especially the Americans.
Yeah, side shouldn't have it either.
Yeah. We got to blow it all up. I got to go with them.
Right.
Yep.
And I made that Armageddon joke, but I do really like it.
And then Boyce's like, what?
Yeah. Just unlock the gate.
I can't hear you.
What are you saying?
It's blowing up too much.
Right.
My eardrums are shot.
Also, Ford has already injected himself with the shit, so he knows nothing good is going to happen from here on out.
Well, yeah, and he knows if the Americans get him, he's just going to be an experiment anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and then during the fight, blown up face guy, he like unlocks the other Nazis who are the serum does work. They are super soldiers.
Yeah.
They're not nasty monsters. They are real bad.
And they're all starting to come out. Okay, so now Ford's plan is to light the C4 himself and just wait for it to blow up because evil Nazi guy crushed the timer, the oven timer.
And they're if you remember from the sack and pole conversation we had before, there is dynamite or C4 all around the basement. Yes. Here or all around the lab here.
No magic. Spots have been left behind.
Oh, yeah. They have paid attention to every pleasure zone in this lab, right?
Seven
sensitive areas have been bombed.
Absolutely. So he's holding this C4, knowing that when that one in his hand goes off, the rest of the building's going to go off.
It's going to be a chain reaction.
Right. So as
it is,
as Red Skull Nazi zombie guy is coming up out of the tar well and the other zombie soldiers are coming out because he released them earlier, that's when the bomb goes off, killing Ford and everyone else in the basement.
But up the building and everything.
Yeah, really it does. And this is when it's mainly just Boyce trying to get out of the building.
Right. And it's awesome. Everything is blowing up. And like you said, Boyce is running out. And I love this because it's just him running away from explosions. And I think explosions
are
really cool.
It is so cool. Mm-hmm. Especially when he gets out and runs through the gate and you see the tower where the radio station was blowing up. And it's like crumbling behind him and he's just running out and then
the wave of rubble.
Yeah, the wave of rubble kind of catches up with him and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm, it really is. And we know they're successful.
It sort of fades from that to them, I'm assuming a day or two after D-Day, where...
Well, now we're hearing the radio announcer talking about what D-Day is, explaining what's going on.
And Tibbetts is getting healed up. He's got like a gauze around his chest where he got shot. And the boy's there playing with the baseball, Paul.
And Paul stands up and says, it's Boyce, but he says it in French. But so Boyce is walking back and he's just all like dusty and kind of shaken. And everybody just kind of stands up and stares at him, and I was kind of waiting for them to give him a high five or a hug or something.
Right.
But they don't. And I mean, I guess
they're like, is Ford alive? He's like, what?
No. Yeah. Yeah. But he does say Ford's dead.
Yeah.
And so the next thing we see is him talking to a superior officer, and it's a little further down the road because they're just kind of at a setup tent.
Yeah, they're getting reassigned to Charlie Company.
And he's reporting in what happened. He's like, oh, so you guys blew up the radio tower. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We heard a rumor there was a lab in the basement, anything like that. He's like, no.
No, I didn't see anything like that.
What?
Mm-hmm. right. All right. So now they're back in the bunks. And I think Chloe is like helping. She's kind of tending to somebody's wound. So it's implied that she would kind of become a part of like the nurse army or whatever.
Nurse Army. That's what it's
called. Nurse Army. Actually, there were waves, and my grandmother was a wave in World War II. So it's implied that she's going to kind of join the cause, too.
I felt bad because Tim is like, are they going to send us home? I got shot through the chest.
Exactly. And they're like, no, you're being reassigned to C Company or Charlie Company.
We got a job to do.
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. That's in the edge.
And that's the movie.
And that's the movie.
Yeah. So I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Dude, I fucking loved it. I don't know if it was clear from the last hour.
Yeah, I don't know that. That's surprising to hear you say that after what you've been saying the whole time. But yeah, I'm surprised. But no. I mean, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. I said this before, but I don't know if I'd watch it again without like a friend being like, hey, let's get people over here, watch this movie and have a good time. Yeah. Like I'd watch it in that situation. I would not watch it by myself, but it's good. I think everyone should watch it.
I think so,
and
too.
I do think it's a good movie for like, if you have a horror version in your life that likes World War II, explain to them that there are going to be some scary moments.
And some gross stuff.
Yeah, but it's good. And man, the body horror really was worse for me than the jump scares, which is uncommon. Normally it's the jump scares that get me, but the body horror in this really got me.
But there's really not that much of the body horror. Like if you look at the percentage of the movie, it's not a ton. I'd say it's maybe a quarter of looking at really gross body stuff.
Yeah, and I would say for a World War II film, it's probably got less body horror than a lot of World War II films.
Yeah, I agree with that. I liked it too. I haven't seen it since theaters. I think it holds up. I think it's well made. I really like it.
I want more people to see this.
I think it's more action adventure than horror.
I mean, it definitely has horror elements.
Oh, it definitely.
But yeah, there's a lot of action. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of why I like it so much, because I like action movies a lot. Strong female character in it. Flamethrowers. Awesomeness.
Checked all the boxes for Jen. Dude. It checked all two boxes.
I know. it's amazing.
All right, can we talk box office?
Yep.
Awesome. So production budget of this was $38 million.
That looks good for $38 million.
That's a big budget for a movie like this, and it looks great. I'm not saying
I thought it was more budget than that.
I did too. They made good use of a $38 million budget, but it's still a pretty big budget movie. It domestically only brought in $21 million. Yeah, so not great. It did bring in $19 million, almost $20 million domestic. So total, it made $41
million. Yeah, so it made its money back.
I don't
barely
know.
Barely, and if you account for advertising budget, it probably didn't. But it's probably going to do well in video on demand. It'll probably eventually make its money back, but probably not quick enough for them to greenlight a sequel.
It was a big advertising push, too, at the time.
Yeah.
I don't really care about a sequel for this, though. You know? Like, I don't really want one.
If they made one, I bet we'd do it, and I bet you'd love it. But I don't think
they're... Vietnam?
No, I mean, the war was just starting for the Americans at this point.
It would have been a cool series of films of, like, horror elements in World War II.
Or they figure out, like,
kind of thing.
Here's my first 30 pages. They figure out that there was a lab down there, but everything's like laid to waste. But because they know that there's that lab down there and that Boyce and his team pulled it off, like killed everybody and was able to take out the lab, they become the occult killers. Because the Nazis were super into the occult, right?
I'll give you
they go around from like occult thing to occult thing, taking care of it. I think it should have done better, to be honest with you. I think it's a really good movie.
I do too.
Yeah. Do you have some Jen's fun facts?
I do have some Jen's fun facts. There's a plaque in the lab, and I don't know if you guys caught this, but it says Al Pascal Moreau.
I did not
see that. That's the name of the lab. And that's after Al is a reference to Albert Einstein. Pascal is Blaise Pascal, who invented the syringe. And so the Moreau is from the Island of Dr. Moreau, which is a short story.
It's a Val Kilmer movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So part of the reason. So remember when I said the kid did a great job acting and his expressions are really good?
He is really good.
He is. And they all are. I think the acting in this is great. Especially
with
all
the fun fact, like he didn't know he was in a movie. He was like,
my town is occupied. No, the fun fact is that the majority of this, or as much as possible, was practical effects.
Oh,
that does not surprise me. Yeah. It looks like it.
It really does. And part of the reason they did that is because they wanted the actors to have the most authentic reactions they could. So in the opening sequence, a lot of these were stuntmen, and they actually set part of the plane on fire and tilted it and just sent these stuntmen through the part of the plane on fire.
Yeah.
The neck snapping scene is a mix of puppetry and animatronics. So as much as possible of that is...
I'm a little surprised that that was practical because it looks real good.
It really does.
I mean, I hated it. I was about to throw up the entire time, but it looks very effective.
But that tells you that it's effective.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, right. I hated it, but...
And so Evil Face Monster had to spend 5 hours in a makeup chair every day to get that makeup put on. And they could have just done CGI to his face, but they didn't because they were like...
Well, they did some CGI to his face.
They did some, but as much as possible, they didn't because they're like, when you're acting against somebody with just dots on their face, you're not gonna be as authentic in your reaction. So yeah, so I really appreciated that they did so much practical effects, and I think that's a big part of why the movie is so effective.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I've got a couple of facts about Operation Overlord, and you guys actually might know more about this
too. A little bit.
Welcome back to Todd and Mikey.
Todd and Mikey Explain History.
All right, so Operation Overlord was the code name for the Battle of Normandy, which is what is commonly called D-Day.
Yep.
And it launched the successful invasion of German-occupied Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It happened on June 6th, 1944, and it was the largest seaborne assault in history. I'm a little confused about this, so you guys can maybe help me. But what part of it is Operation Neptune?
I believe that is the air one.
Well, I think Overlord was the air and Neptune was the sea.
That would make sense because Neptune is the god of the sea.
Right. And I'm not exactly sure if that's what their names were, but that was part of Overlord and Neptune kind of came together for the Battle of Normandy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where the title of the movie comes from. All right. And those are my fun facts.
Nice. Thank you for your fun facts, Jen.
And with the newer releases, ones, especially when they're kind of smaller, there's just not that many.
Sucks that this is smaller, man. It was a good movie.
Dude, yes. Hey, guys, watch this movie. Tell your friends. Make your friends watch this movie.
Well, I'll sacrifice a couple of fun facts for a fun movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jen, let's do the scary scale, biz.
Well, hey, listeners. Our scary scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched the movie. It's not a ranking of the quality of the movie. It's how scared we were tonight when we watched it. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd.
I'm gonna give it a 5.
All right.
It was pretty scary for me.
Body horror more?
Yeah, I was surprised by that, to be honest with you, because normally it's scary, like jump scares that get me, and it did have some jump scares.
Mm-hmm.
It just had a lot more body horror, and it was...
Yeah, you almost threw up.
Yeah, I really did. And so,
Thank you for not. Mikey?
I'm going to give it like a 2.
Yeah. It's your second time seeing it. Like, it's different the second time. I get that.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was super scary the first time. Like I said, it was... I like the movie. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it was scary because it was more video gamey than horror for me.
I think I'm going to give it a 3. The attic scene totally fucked me up. The scene at the beginning was so tense. Like, I feel like there are non-horror elements of this where it's like the horrors of war that are really frightening too. So it's not as much scary as it's just really tense. There's a sexual assault scene that is really tense too. So I think now I'm talking myself into a 4. I'm going to give it a 4.
Do it. I think it's one that people should see. Mm-hmm. And I never feel that way about these movies that we watch.
I did have another fun fact.
Oh, yeah?
Is that okay?
Hit us with that fun fact.
Okay, so I want to talk about the influences from the director, and the director is Julius Avery, and he was talking about some of the influences for this movie, and one was Alien. So one was Alien, and the other one he talked about specifically was The Thing.
That does not surprise me at all.
The head throwback scene was like a ripoff.
Oh, yeah.
Homage to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had told me that the guy who did the special effects for The Thing was the same guy who did the special effects for this, I'd be like, 100%, I get that. That looks like that. So I'm not at all surprised that that was one of the influences for
it. And it's awesome too, because one of the stars is Kurt Russell's son from The Thing. So
So this week you guys made me watch Overlord. What are you guys making me watch next week?
Well, Todd, we're not making you watch anything next week. You don't get a week off. The listeners are making you watch something.
Oh, listener request.
It's our listener request. Yes. And this month our theme is school horror. It's back to school time, our listener request this month. And you guys picked Jennifer's Body.
Nice.
Wow. I know, I'm excited about this.
Jen, how do you feel about this one? Because I know you have a firm don't make a tape stance.
I do, yeah. I'll allow this one, though, because this is a film.
Oh. Oh, so it's... Okay, now I get it, Mikey. Yeah, now I get it, Mikey. So don't make a tape. Be classy.
Yeah.
Make a film.
Also written and directed by a woman. So.
Hey, she wants to hold the camera. That's fine. I'm okay with... Jen is very upset with me right now, Mikey.
I don't think this episode's going to go well.
So, guys, watch Jennifer's Body before next week.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's a film, Jen. It's
pardon me. I'm sorry.
All right, so we're going to read another 5-star review. And by we, I mean Mikey.
Uh-oh.
Now, Mikey.
I'm the best reader.
Here we go.
I want you to read this one.
I like how you get all comfy cozy on the couch to curl up and read.
It's
MBB0711 says. He didn't even try and read it after I explained it. Yeah.
This is the single best podcast, ladies. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
I think that is ladies.
I'll be the judge of that. I'm reading.
Oh, my bad.
The hosts sound like they are having a blast talking about horror movies every episode.
Some of you guys are.
They give plenty of details and fun facts
about
each film. The guests on the show are always informative. And it is clearly that they loves the horror genre.
And it's clear they love the horror genre. Except Todd.
Except Todd.
Yeah.
Thanks for a hilariously spooky show. 5 stars. Thank you, 7-Eleven.
It's MBB0711.
How do you pronounce that?
Well, I mean, I can't extrapolate what their name is. It's Martin Van Buren.
Martin Van Buren.
0711, yeah. Former president Martin Van Buren.
I prefer reviews from people with names I can pronounce.
I mean, just like reviews.
Yeah. And guys, if you want your 5-star reviewed and then shamed by Mikey,
exactly.
Leave us a 5-star review and write something so we have something to read.
Oh, in the accent. I'll do the accent.
Oh, yes. If you include the accent, Mikey has pledged to read it in accents. And it's not just it's not just accents. You could say robot. You could say anything.
Dinosaur?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. I'm ready. I'm ready to do the voice work.
I believe you are. All right, guys. We are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. So if you're following us in that feed, switch over to our feed because then you get the show 2 days earlier on Monday instead of Wednesday. But if you are listening to the Modern Horrors feed, you're, of course, getting their podcast, Death, Dying, and Other Things, and the lovely Final Girls.
Hey.
Yeah. Make sure you're going to our website at horrorversion.com for the amazing blog that Jen writes. Ooh. And you can also link over to our merch store, and they have like a sale pretty much every month. So if you're getting merch from our store and it's not on sale, wait a day.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Or buy it at full price.
Yeah. I mean, we don't make any money.
Nah, we don't.
Anyway. So, yeah.
We just want it out. Like, yeah, we just absolutely. Want you to have it.
Yeah, we could have marked it up and made some money on it, but we just wanted to get out there. So that's more important to us.
$1 million.
All we got to do is sell one.
I'm down with that.
And we all have tattoos.
If you want to follow Jen on the socials, she's at Jen Ferratu. Mikey is M Randolph 24, and I am at Todd J Awesome. Of course, you can follow the show at Horror Virgin. If you want to help financially support the show, please do help us get better mics and equipment to give you guys better sound. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. Got a lot of great levels there. A lot of great new patrons this month. Thank you guys so much for joining the Patreon squad. But if you can't afford to help financially support us, that's fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that is telling your friends and family about the show.
Yeah, share it on the social media.
Absolutely. Or just tell your coworkers, friends and family about it face to face. No joke. Last month was our highest listened to month on record. And that's been at the end of just month after month after month of that. And that does not happen without you guys telling people about the show, because we don't have money for a marketing budget or anything. So huge, huge thank you for telling your friends and family about the show.
Really, thank
seriously.
You.
That'll be the end of the things we're talking about.
Yeah. Yep, this is the end.
Guys, we're not doing that.
Well, it's like midnight.
It is like
I'm
midnight.
So tired.
12:01, I know.
It isn't just like midnight. It is midnight. Yeah.
It was midnight a minute ago. Now it's even more midnight. So that's going to be it from us tonight. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for Overlord.
Yes.
Watch this movie and tell everyone you know to
watch this movie.
It's
quite good.
I love it.
We appreciate you joining us. That's going to be it.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys.
That'll be everything for us. Have a great week.
Bye, nerds.
Should we talk in a German accent?
Get to the job.
I want to go to bed.
My tummy hurts.
You have taken some wicked number sixes in Jen's bathroom.
No, it's like there's not a lot coming out. It just hurts.
I kind of don't want to go down there.
Honestly, it's not the first time I've heard that.
Oh, Mikey, shower first, you monster.
My eyes
wash
are
your hands.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Oh, wait, is this still on the thing?
Oh, yeah.
God dang it.